All right, thank you for coming this evening. And some of you might have looked at the bulletin or something and saw what this class was titled and wondered, what is this? It could be a health class looking at diseases of the heart, but it's not. Joe says, oh, takes him back to his college days. It's not a physical health that we're looking at, but it is spiritual health that we're going to look at this evening and this quarter. Disease of the heart or heart diseases is a study on particular problems that Christians can have, humans, sin, and how to overcome that in our spiritual walk with God. And as we go through this, quarter. Hopefully, we're going to spend 45 minutes looking at this, and when we leave this evening, we go back to our homes, we're going to take a lot with us to better ourselves, better understand ourselves, and really better understand God's position in all this. Some of it might come to a surprise. Some of the things we're going to talk about, maybe you didn't know that God was so serious about his conviction in some of these areas. And so as we go on this quarter, please, listen, my outlines are not very long. And so please make sure that you speak out and make this more of a discussion class than anything, because I believe in any other class, this class is going to generate a lot of discussion. Now, I don't know if it's because I spend all day in school or what, but you're going to have to speak out loud, okay, for me to hear. And also, if this is being recorded for the internet, those people that are listening to it will not hear your question. And I might have to repeat your question, and then they hear it. That's just the way the technology is. So, or comment. So feel free to speak and pour some of yourself out in this evening's class. And having a discussion class in the auditorium sometimes can be challenging. You know, might be better if we were in a smaller room. But with the amount of people that we have, I guess the auditorium will be doing good. Now we're going to look at those things that humans have problems with and sin. And I want a disclaimer right now. All right, I am not an expert in these areas whatsoever. There's going to be areas that we're going to talk about that I'm dealing with myself. And I know there's going to be people in the audience when we get to some area. It might not be tonight. It might be next week or maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now. But there might be something that you're struggling with, and all of a sudden, boom, there it is. And hopefully this study will help you. So my disclaimer is I'm not an expert in these areas at all. There's areas that I'm trying to work on, just like hopefully you're trying to work on too. The Bible puts us all in one boat, and that is we're all what? We're all sinners, and we fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we should feel comfortable with each other. And I think sometimes we're not. I know we're not. And sometimes I think that's kind of funny, you know. We might want to dress up a lot on Sunday morning and put on real special clothes, and we have kind of a front that we have. But yet we sit here in the auditorium with 500 people worshiping God, and every one of those 500 people have something that they should be working on. Something in their lives that they're falling short on that they should be working on. And so I believe there's probably two Wednesdays that we won't have class this quarter. I can think of one because I believe there's a fifth Sunday that we'll probably sing instead of having Bible class. And there might be a missionary or two coming on a Wednesday night where we'll not have Bible class. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. Our first one. This evening we're going to talk about envy. We can define envy like this: the feeling of grudging admiration, desire to have something that is possessed by another. spite and resentment of seeing the success of another. Does it happen? Here's a question for you. Does it happen in the church? It happens in the church. Are you going to sit there and tell me that Christians envy each other? It does, yeah. Somebody could be sitting there and maybe somebody's offered a position or they're able to do something that somebody else wasn't asked to do. Ooh, their feelings are hurt. Not only are their feelings hurt, but it leads to an envious situation. And they sit there and they go, oh, man, how come I wasn't asked to do that? See, that envious of position. Envious of something that somebody has. Somebody owns a Cadillac. I won't tell who, but they're sitting over here in the front row. You know, and I walked by and I thought, she's driving a Cadillac. What's up with that? And I thought, man, I wish I had acknowledged it. I could have. How about a brand new one? But see, we can be envious of somebody else's possessions. We can be envious of somebody else's position that they might have, even in the kingdom of God. Isn't that something? And it's an easy trap for us to fall into. And I'm going to repeat this quarter. The only reason that it's an easy trap for us to fall into is because we are humans. That's all. Humans have human frailties. You do, I do. You can't think of one person in the kingdom of God that doesn't have some kind of human frailty. And hopefully that person is working on it. So this evening we're going to talk about our first subject, envy. So let's take a look at what God says. Before we do that, I have another question. How could we identify an envious person? Can you? Can you identify an envious person?
Sometimes.
Behavior. Elaborate. Comments they make. To you? Anybody. What?
They're never satisfied.
Never satisfied, she says. What else? Identify an envious person. Some people are very good at hiding it. Very good. And you know what? They might not want anybody to know. And it might be that they're working on it. It might be that they don't want to come public with anything or go to a person because they're working on something. But envy is really bad. And that's what we're going to take a look at this evening, is that envy is really bad. It's listed with things you might be surprised about. All right. Go ahead and let's take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 30, chapter 30, and look at verse 1. Now when Rachel saw she bore Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sisters and said to Jacob, "Give me children, lest I die." Rachel is an example, that's a good word. Give that one to President Bush. Example of someone that was envious. What was she envious of? All right. She is envious of her sister. What was her sister's name?
Leah.
She's envious of Leah because Leah could have a baby and she couldn't. Could you find that in 2007? Oh, yeah. You could. Somebody could be, you know, somebody could have a baby. They bring the baby to worship and everybody's oohing and aahing over this little baby. And somebody's sitting there and saying, you know what, I can't get pregnant. I remember I guess I can say, I don't see why not. But I remember there was a time, you won't believe, we have four children. There was a time we couldn't get pregnant. You probably don't believe that, but there was. There was a time when we had trouble getting pregnant and lost a baby. And you know, it's funny, after we lost a baby, all the people that came to us and said, "Oh, I lost a baby too. We lost a baby 3 years ago, or we lost a baby 10 years ago, or something." And you just wouldn't know it, that people were going through that same thing, or went through that same thing, until you go through it and people come to you and say, "We went through the same thing." And so it's real world things that can make you envious. It's not something that's, you know, pie in the sky kind of thing. It's something that's really just down to earth. Somebody has a baby and you can't have a baby. Somebody gets married. Maybe there's somebody that's going through marriage problems. They say, "Man, that poor devil, he shouldn't..." No, I'm just kidding. Somebody's single. Says, "Wish I could get married." That could be a temptation to be envious. "I've waited years to be married and I can't be married, and here I am sitting in this wedding, and these couple seem so happy getting married, and here I am not." It could be an envious situation. And so there's those traps that we fall in, just like Rachel fell in that trap of being envious about her sister. So we all have to be careful. Genesis chapter 26. Just go back a little bit to Genesis chapter 26. Here we have Isaac. And it says, "For he had possession of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him." The Philistines were full of envy. Why? Why did they envy Isaac? Because what? He had wealth. He was doing pretty good, wasn't he? He had wealth. Is that an easy temptation? I think sometimes it is. For us teachers, right, Nicole? Yeah, you know, we drive down the street. Yeah. Yes, comment.
He had the Lord's blessings.
He had the Lord's blessings. Ooh, that's a good comment. Thank you.
A lot of times if you don't have something, I don't think the Lord's blessing you for some reason.
Yeah, that's a good comment. She said he had the Lord's blessings. Do the Philistines have the Lord's blessings? Come on, they're Philistines. Isaac had the Lord's blessings. How about the married couple getting married? Do they have the Lord's blessing? Probably, they're getting married, right? That's a good thing. Does the person sitting there at the wedding have the right to be envious? The right to be envious. I see some heads shaking. I don't see anybody saying yes. No, they don't have the right to be envious. Did God bless that couple to be married? So far, right? They're being married. So far, they're being blessed. A couple years down the road, we'll see what happens, right? But right now, they're getting married, they're blessed. Like Fran said, they're blessed by the Lord. And probably the key thing about us not being envious is that somebody became an elder in the church. We're supposed to honor our elders, don't we? Okay? That person's going to be honored as an elder. It's going to happen. Was that person blessed by God? Talk to one of our elders. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that person's being blessed by God, put in that position by God, and somebody else does not have the right to be envious because of that. All right, turn over to the book of Romans, the New Testament, book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 29. Romans 1:29 reads, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers. Uh-oh, got to be careful about whispering. Envy is in there. Ladies and gentlemen, this is pretty bad stuff, isn't it? Here we have a list of pretty bad stuff. Sexual immorality. You know what God feels about sexual immorality. You know. And he puts envy right there with it. God is absolutely serious about this matter of envy. And if you really haven't opened your Bible to look at envy or did a word study on envy, you might not really pick up on it as time goes on, unless you really specifically look at some of these sins, some of these troubles that us humans have. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but obsessed with dispute and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reveling evil suspicions. Somebody's being envious. Is there any indication what they're envious of? Say that again. Envious of God's word in verse 3. It's could it be that somebody was trying to teach something, thinking they knew something? They were envious over maybe somebody else having, you know, I don't know, maybe some kind of position or teaching power or more knowledge. And that person becomes envious. How come I can't stand up there and teach? How come I'm not bald and wear a tie? See, you can become envious, easy envious of somebody in a position. What if you're at the job? You're up for a promotion. But there's two other people up for the promotion also. The boss says, out of you three, only one person's going to get the promotion. That would be easily to become envious if you were not chosen for that promotion and the other person was. And that could be an entrapment, like numerous things could be an entrapment. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, that kind of reminds me of something. Didn't we just have Titus not too long ago? Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves were also one, foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Pretty tough words, isn't it? It's mean-spirited, isn't it? Hating one another. There's something about sin, and that is sin doesn't stop. Sin can go out in fingers. It also can transgress generations. Some people might have maybe a family background. Somebody did something, and maybe there's a feud between family members, and as time went on, people say, how come we don't talk to so-and-so? I don't know. I don't know why we don't talk to so-and-so. And so sin has fingers or tentacles that go out and can reach out beyond that initial sin. And so here's something that's happening there in the New Testament, hateful and hating one another, serving various lusts, pleasures, and then envy again is listed there with sins that you might not even associate with envy. But God is absolutely, totally serious about envy and us not being envious people. Why? Why would God be so serious about envy?
It leads to other things.
It leads to other things. Good. You connected the two things. Good job. It leads to other things. What other things?
Lead to any manner of sin.
Okay, sin, right. There you go. It could lead to other sin. Absolutely. What else? Why would God be so serious about us not being an envious people? We're not grateful. That's great. That's beautiful. We wouldn't be grateful.
And he wants us to love one another.
Well, we got two people.
He wants us to love one another.
He wants us to love one another.
Focusing on ourselves, not others.
Right. Ooh, yeah. Become very self-absorbed. Yes. Ooh, I love that. I don't know if you heard her. She said that it's almost like a slap in the face if you envy what somebody else has, because God has promised he's going to take care of you and blessings are given to you. But yet if you're envious, you're taking a slap in God's face. It's a good comment. Yes.
I think it's sort of like jealousy. It's a wasted emotion.
A wasted emotion. Good job. I like that. She says it's a wasted emotion. God does not want us to be envious, because it's a disease in our heart. It corrupts us. It's bad. It's bad for us. Not only that, it's bad for other people, but it's bad for us. It eats us up. You know, if you want to be heart healthy, there's certain things that you do to be heart healthy, right, Joe? Exercise?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, envy causes stress.
Envy causes stress. He should know. Because he used to be a cardiologist, right? Yeah. He used to be a cardiologist. Envy causes stress. God knows envy causes stress. God knows that if you have sin inside, it's going to eat away at you. It's going to make you a miserable person. And he's begging you to get it out. It's not good for you. It's like poison on the shelf. Well, look at this poison. If I drank that, would it be good for me? No, absolutely not. It's not good for you. Don't drink it. And so so God knows that envy. Envy will put you in an early grave, our cardiologist says. All right, turn over to Book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 45. Oh my, I'm sorry. No, I'm really sorry, because this isn't working. Could you see if you can advance that, please? Not used to, you know, having the clicker. The rest of my family has the clicker. I don't get the clicker. No, just kidding. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by God. Who's envious in this situation? The Jews. Who are they envious of? Paul. Why would the Jews be envious of Paul? There's a multitude of people there with Paul. That's what the Bible said. There's a multitude there. They must be there for some reason. I don't know if he's, you know, giving away a car or something, but there must be something. He's preaching the gospel. There's a multitude there, and the Jews are looking on. Now it just says Jews, doesn't it? Now there is out of the Jewish population there. There's different sects that would be more interested in Paul than just an average Jewish person living at that time. We have Pharisees and Sadducees, don't we? The religious leaders of the time. Now, it doesn't say that specifically. You can use maybe a little imagination or something. It could be the Pharisees and Sadducees, or it could be just the average Jewish person. But it says that they're envious because Paul has that multitude there. And, yes? Yeah.
Something to go along with that, in Romans chapter 11, Paul says, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. And I always thought about that. I want my kids and my family and those who don't follow the Lord to so envy the blessings that I have in the Lord that they'll come back to Him.
Oh, opens up a whole another book, doesn't it? Say, what's that verse again?
Romans 11:14.
Paul says he wants to stir up his people to be envious of him. All right, that's interesting. Maybe envy could be in a good way. Yes?
So looking at verse 46, it says it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected it, and judge yourselves unworthy of an amount of blessed life. This is what she was saying. Envy can also be translated into feeling unworthy, and that's why you
sometimes write it. That's right. It's actually, if you talk to a psychologist, that is the root problem. Is a feeling of unworthiness, of bad self-esteem leads to jealousy and envy. She mentioned jealousy. Bad self-esteem leads to envy and jealousy, so say the psychologists of our modern times.
Yeah.
Self-esteem becomes very important. If you're going to defeat envy, you're going to have to do something to build up self-esteem. Bottom line, it might mean a trip somewhere. It might be sitting down and talking with somebody, but something has to happen. Somebody that has good self-esteem is usually not found to be envious or jealous. So say psychologists. All right. The evil nature of envy. I said that it's evil. It's in your heart. It's going to produce something that's wrong for you. It's bad for you. The first verse up there is James chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, starting in verse 14, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Where does envy come from?
The devil.
The devil. Now, if you go to Barnes & Noble and you start looking around for self-help books about envy, I doubt if they're going to mention the devil. Modern psychology does not put a lot of blame on the devil. But envious thoughts, envious nature, envy that is in somebody's heart has its root in Satan. It is not confined to just the world. We talked about that at opening of class this evening, and that is, people in the Lord's church can be just as vulnerable as anybody else of being envious of someone. And it could be possession, or it could be envious of somebody's position or what they're doing, the job they have in the kingdom of God. Whatever it is, it's easy to fall in that trap and be envious. Yes? Yeah, it's self-seeking, isn't it? So envy doesn't stay there, does it? It spreads out, and it goes into other areas. All right, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 30. Luke chapter 15 has what story inside of it? the story of the prodigal son. Somebody just kind of real quickly give us the bottom line of the story of the prodigal son. What? Squanders his inheritance, leaves. Then what happens? Father welcomes him back. Does he have a brother? He has a brother. He's speaking right here. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. I think he was a little upset. Was he envious? Very possible. He's envious of the brother coming back and having these good things happen. Come on, Dad, look what you're doing. Brother goes out there and squanders the inheritance, you know, ruins everything. And when he comes back, you're giving him a party for coming back.
Verse 28 calls him angry.
Angry.
He didn't even go in.
So he becomes envious of his brother's situation. Ooh, I just thought of another brother-brother relationship. Cain and Abel. Somebody was envious there, weren't they? What were they envious of, Nicole? Cain didn't give as good an offering as his brother did. It's not specific, but it wasn't good enough. God said it wasn't good enough. What happened to Cain? He became envious. Anger. What followed? Murder. He murdered his own brother because he was mad and envious of somebody's situation. Joseph's brothers, what were they envious of? Oh, beautiful mother-in-law of mine.
Favoritism.
When she said favoritism, it kind of reminded me of family situations. We really try in our family not to show favoritism. Because we don't want anybody to grow up with that inside of them. Somebody might be sitting in here saying, you know what? Mom and Dad love my brother more than me. They love my sister more than me. They gave my brother a lot more than attention than they gave to me. It could happen. And if that happens when you're 5 years old, is it still in you when you're 40? Oh, yes. When we're growing up, the things that happen to us, our family situation, all that is inside of us, and we grow up with that, and we have to deal with it. And sometimes it takes somebody a long time to understand that they have to deal with that and work on those things. It makes people miserable. Proverbs 14:30. Here's a verse for our cardiologist, resident cardiologist, retired thereof. Proverbs 14:30. It reads, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Look at the first part before you look at the second part. A sound heart is life to the body. Is it talking about a physical heart? Our cardiologist says yes. Could be. What about the spiritual side of you? Both places. A sound heart. Self-esteem. Good self-esteem versus bad self-esteem. Peace in your life versus, anxiety? Depression? Those things that people suffer from? The Bible says a sound heart is good, whereas envy is rottenness to the bones. Next, Proverbs 27:4. Wrath is cruel, anger is torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Somebody's jealous, whatever situation. What's the root cause of that jealousy? I heard something.
Envy.
What else? What's the root cause of envy, though? We already mentioned it. Bad what? Bad self-esteem. Bad self-esteem. Somebody has bad self-esteem, they're going to run into jealous situations. Somebody has good self-esteem, very rarely becomes a jealous person because they don't have any reason to be jealous. They have good self-esteem. Is it wrong to have good self-esteem?
No.
No, it's not wrong. What's that? Got to have it. Does God want you to have good self-esteem? God wants you to have good self-esteem. It's important to you. It's important to your spiritual walk to have good self-esteem. I wish you got paid for this. No, just... The associates of envy. I'm getting my clicker again. Here's things that envy is... Is that the bell? The bell's evil. All right. Here's what God associates evil or envy with. Envy associated in the Bible with malice, guile, hypocrisies, adultery, lasciviousness, witchcraft, strife, murder, disobedience, deception, divers lusts, malice, drunkenness, and hate. Is God serious about envy? Yeah. If God's going to take envy and list it to these things, we know that He's serious. Real quick here, envy's track record. Cain slew Abel. We already mentioned that. Joseph's brothers. We already mentioned that. Saul hunted David. Was Saul envious? Yeah. Men sacrificed the Lord out of envy. Jesus Christ was put on the cross because of envy, envious situation there. The apostles were thrown into prison many times because the religious leaders were envious. They probably couldn't find too much wrong. They call them blasphemers, of course, because they were preaching the gospel against what was the old, is their law. We call it the Old Testament. But they're envious of that situation where the apostles could gather great multitudes and convert Jewish people into Christianity. I wonder if they're envious of the power of the apostles. The apostles had power, didn't they? Could the apostles heal somebody? Yeah. What's that?
Simon
the sorcerer. What was he envious of? Gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, he was envious of the apostles' power. Sure was. Members of the church can be envious of one another. Recognition, position, or praise for a job well done. You might be side by side with somebody, and they come over and say, "Man, you did such a good job with that. I am so glad you did that. What a blessing that was for all those widows." And somebody else is standing here and saying, "I baked the turkeys. I didn't get any praise at all. What happened there? He gets the praise because he delivered them, and I baked the turkeys for the widows."
She helped,
okay. Preachers can become envious. How would a preacher become envious? Somebody's asked to preach at a gospel meeting at Palm Beach Lakes. Somebody's not asked to preach at a gospel meeting at Palm Beach Lakes. Could be what? Could be an envious situation. Dan Jenkins talked about a story of two gospel preachers that were very, very well known. There was a gospel meeting coming up, and one gospel, they had two in mind. They called up the one and said, "Sorry, we have chosen Brother so-and-so to preach at the gospel meeting." The person they called said this, "I would even sweep the floors if that's what it took to expand the kingdom of God." Paraphrased. That is not an envious attitude, is it? That is opposite. He just wanted the gospel preached. That's all he wanted. Whether this man over here did it or he did it, he didn't care. He would sweep the floors if that's what it took. Beautiful attitude. God does prohibit envy. We're not to be envious of one another. If you'd like to take a look real quick, look at some of these verses. We are not to walk in envy. There is a biblical command not to be an envious person. The envious will not see heaven. Isn't that something? Somebody's guilty of heaven, or guilty of heaven. I'm guilty of heaven. Somebody's guilty of envy, and they're not going to see heaven because they couldn't deal with that envy correctly. What a shame. What if that person just could work on other things or wasn't even tempted by other things? That's what I wanted to say at the beginning of the class, and I forgot. Is a lot of times when we're looking at the sin and what troubles humans, some person might be tempted with something, and another person, it doesn't matter at all. It just doesn't matter, I'm going to go over time just because David Sproul does it, so that's okay. Envy. Yeah. I remember Dan Jacobs was counseling somebody, and they told him how tempting it would be if next door was a room of cocaine, piled with cocaine, how tempting it would be to run over to that room. That was a big temptation for that person. And the one thing that Dan commented was is that that is no temptation to him whatsoever. Not at all. And see, some of these sins, somebody could be dealing with something that's in their lives, and for another person, it's not. It's nothing. And it's kind of a oddity about humans, I guess, is that what could be a real problem with one person, another person is saying, why do you feel like that? I don't feel like that. Why do you feel like that? Oh, yeah.
No big deal for a person to say that doesn't tempt me. It is a big deal for somebody to say that tempts me and I'm not.
Right. Real quick, how to overcome. Work on self-esteem. We talked about that. Love, put on Christ, be content with what you have, your position and your relationships. So being content, that's, I think, 3 or 4 weeks down the road, by the way. Crucify self and pray about it. Thank you. You did a great job this evening. Everybody gets an A.